is Jay Sekulow. Breaking news. New sanctions on the government of Iran.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
These are sanctions that prohibit Iran's dealing in U.S. dollars, Iran's currency worldwide, precious metals, aluminum, steel, coal, and Iran's auto sector. And that's only phase one. In less than 3 months, the administration hits Iran's central bank and oil production.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Protesters in Iran have been chanting against the religious and political elite. But for these men and women, what they say is the government's mishandling of the economy is their main grievance.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. President Donald Trump is reimposing sanctions that were lifted under that Iranian nuclear deal. President said our policy is based on a clear-eyed assessment of the Iranian dictatorship, its sponsorship of terrorism, and its continuing aggression in the Middle East and all around the world. Having said that, at the very same time that that's going on, protests in the streets, not death to America, not death to Israel, but calling for regime change because of the economic situation, Jordan and Iran. This is a much different situation than the Iranian Islamic Republic normally can control. This one, they are not being able to control.
Well, there was a windfall under the Obama administration. There were, you know, plackets of cash being delivered by in the night with billions of U.S. dollars that boosted an economy, sanctions that were taken away that the people and the regime had honestly gotten used to. But when you remove sanctions like that, and your economy starts to flourish in the sense of not how, what we're used to here, but in the sense of an economy that was basically stalled and not growing, even if it is just for a year and a half. And when the sanctions are around the corner, things start getting worse. And what do we know with this president? Ask the Turks, ask the Chinese on tariffs. If he told you 90 days ago he's going to impose the sanctions, 90 days later, what does he do if you haven't changed your nuclear program to his satisfaction? He reimposes the sanctions. And if they wait another 90 days, they won't have any oil going out of Iran either. And that means no money, no food, people take to the streets.
Let me ask Colonel Wes Smith. Colonel, you study the situation significantly. What is your initial reaction to this?
Well, obviously, the people in Iran are tired of this oppressive theocracy. They're tired of the hypocritical holy man, as Pompeo called them, living in luxury. They're tired of the financial hardship. And these sanctions, even though they're just starting tonight at midnight, the threat of those sanctions has caused companies to already stop doing business with Iran because they see what's coming. And interestingly enough, Jay, the people in the streets of Iran all across that country today are not shouting death to America.
Right.
They want regime change, and they want financial assistance.
Let me go to our director of policy, Harry Hutchinson. We're going to go around the table here, and then we're going to take your calls at 800-684-3110. Real quick snapshot, what is the economic impact? What is happening in Iran economically?
Well, the salient question, Jay, is whether Iran's economy is headed for a death spiral in the wake of sanctions and protest. It's important to note that the rial, Iran's currency, has fallen by more than 50% in the last 9 months or so, and on the black market, it has fallen by 80%. So the economy in Iran is cratering, and the people of Iran are reacting.
Fan, Washington, D.C.'s reaction to this. A lot of people, there's been a lot of talk that this was coming. What's reaction on Capitol Hill?
Well, I think there's been a strong appetite on Capitol Hill for the reimposing of sanctions. But, Jay, I would just say at the very outset, remember, Congress was fairly complicit in the JCPOA. They voted before the deal was passed to essentially pre-authorize it. I think they're standing behind the president now. But look, they did not take the lead on this. It was President Trump. He took a consistent but measured approach. And like Jordan said, he told you this date 90 days ago, and literally at the stroke of midnight, that's when the sanctions are starting back into place.
The president did not certify that Iran was in compliance with the JCPOA. Good, because they weren't. A lot of ramifications on this. We're going to take your calls and comments when we come back from the break. We got a full panel here to discuss this. Our phone lines are open for you. Your reaction to the president imposing sanctions on the Islamic Republic of Iran. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Back with your calls and comments in just a moment. Again, phone lines are open. 1-800-684-3110. Back with more in a minute.
This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist to fill the seat created by the retirement of Justice Kennedy. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. He has extensive experience and a commitment to adhere to the rule of law and uphold the Constitution. Yet the radical left is pulling out all the stops to derail this nomination. That's why it's so critical to support this nominee. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Stand with us on this critical fight. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo said, "We're deeply concerned about reports of the Iranian regime's violence against unarmed citizens. The U.S. supports the Iranian people's right to protest against the regime's corruption and oppression. Without fear of reprisal, we call on the regime in Iran to respect its people's human rights." Here are the protests that are going on right now. This is some of the audio, untranslated, right? This is what's going on the streets, just so you can get a sense of it. So let me tell you what this is not. Death to America, death to Israel. These protests are cry out loud, countrymen, demand what is your right. Let me go to Harry Hutchinson, our director of policy first. Let's talk about the economic impact of what's going on here. Phase one of these sanctions, very clear as to what is taking place. Phase one impacts the purchase or acquisition of U.S. currency by the Iranians. Iranians trade in gold and other precious metals. It also impacts aluminum, steel, coal, software used in industrial processes, transactions related to the Iranian currency, the rial, activities relating to Iran's issuance of sovereign debt and Iran's automotive sector. That's just phase one. What does this mean?
Well, it means that the Iranian economy, which is already poised to implode, faces additional pressure. And the Iranian mullahs can no longer simply blame this on outside conspirators. They need to blame it on themselves because they have spent a huge amount of Iranian treasure on fueling conflicts in Syria, in Yemen, and by supplying arms to Hezbollah and Hamas. Meantime, the people in Iran have difficulty buying rice, bread, and sugar, while the hypocritical holy men are spending money on luxury cars. So the economy in Iran is imploding and it is poised to collapse. When it will collapse, we do not know, but it's very important to recognize that the Iranians face a huge choice. Will they return to the negotiating table and negotiate in good faith to remove all of their nuclear ambitions, or will they continue on the current course of action?
Jordan, you followed this protest movement since 2009, and we talked about this during our commercial break with Facebook and Periscope. Where do you see the protest side of this going?
I think that the protesters realize the Iranian regime can put together and force their loyalists into a protest and shout death to America. likely will see that in response to these sanctions. They're going to respond, and you'll see those regimes. But the people that are taking to the streets there and that kind of mass number, and when this happens, are putting their life at risk, their family's life at risk, their whole well-being by taking to the streets. Not like here, and literally everyone in those streets, any one of them at any moment, man, woman, child, who's participating could be killed. They could be heading to your house to arrest your parents while you're there. So you're taking significant personal risk. But I do believe what they realize over this period is that real fundamental change wasn't going to happen because of a nuclear deal, because all that did was empower the mullahs and empowered the Iranian Revolutionary Guard. And human rights will only come through economic freedom.
You know, it's interesting. Mike Pompeo said exactly that. Listen to number 24.
The Ayatollahs are in on the act, too. Judging by their vaswell, they seem more concerned with riches than religion. These hypocritical holy men have devised all kinds of crooked schemes to become some of the wealthiest men on earth while their people suffer.
These are very strong words, Colonel Smith, from the Secretary of State.
Yeah, they really are. And Jordan's right. The courage of the Iranian people to take to the streets in light of their secret prisons and their oppressive regime and all of that, it speaks to the fact that they have absolutely had enough, and they are willing to sacrifice their freedom and possibly their lives in order to change their living conditions. They are sick of this twisted Ayatollah Khomeini, who is the supreme leader. He is actually the leader of Iran. The president of Iran, he has no power. The Iran Revolutionary Guards answer only to the supreme leader, and they also control all the businesses, all the economy in Iran, and the people have absolutely had enough.
Than, let me go to you on this. Looking at this from the perspective of Washington, D.C., this was not unanticipated, but the president said it and he did it.
He was consistent. He was measured. He did it on the exact day. In fact, the exact minute that he promised it, that'll be tonight at 12:01 a.m. Eastern. But, Jay, I can't overstate the importance of the, at the same time that's taking place, the Iranian people going to the streets. It's maybe the one silver lining that came out of this deal, because the Iranian people saw with clarity what the regime did with all of that released sanction relief and then also the assets. They saw that it did not benefit them. It just went to fund terror. Jay, ultimately, that is where change inside Iran is going to have to come. But the United States, as of 12:01 tonight, they're putting that pressure back on that was relieved under the previous administration.
I don't know if we have the sound yet from John Bolton, but he said we're already seeing the pressure from sanctions threatening threat impacting the Iranian economy. Let's go ahead and play it.
When they come back into effect tonight, we've really already seen some of the implications. The pressure on the Iranian economy is significant. The value of its currency is going through the floor. We've seen public reporting of massive flights of capital out of Iran. The elites are getting nervous. We continue to see demonstrations and riots in cities and towns all around Iran, showing the dissatisfaction the people feel because of the straitened economy.
So this is, I mean, that's from John Bolton, who's the National Security Advisor. This is serious stuff. All right, we're going to the phones. We're taking your calls. We want your reaction to all this. 1-800-684-3110. By the way, I mentioned this on Periscope and Facebook. For those that call us and get a comment on the air or a question, we're going to send you a signed copy of our book, Unholy Alliance, which talks about Iran, extensively about Iran. This was put out by our Global Center for the Study of Law and Public Policy at Oxford. And we want you to have a copy of it. We'll get you a signed copy. It's also available at Amazon, wherever you get your books. And we are taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Jordan, let's go ahead and go to one of
Jonah in New York on line one. Jonah, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Jonah. Go ahead.
Thank you. By the way, enjoying your book on Israel.
Thanks.
Started it over the weekend, and that's a great contribution.
Thanks.
I'm calling specifically to make the point about the significance of the keeping his commitment. The sanctions are going to be powerful. They're going to work. We know that. We are. The flight of capital is a very telling sign.
Mm-hmm.
But when Obama was in office and the so-called, I think it was called the Green Movement, if I'm not mistaken, they got shut down pretty quickly. And part of the reason that the Ayatollahs were able to shut them down was it was quite clear that Obama was not going to put any pressure and follow through. It's a totally different story today with Trump. The fact that he makes a commitment and then honors it and keeps it down to the day, unlike the so-called Syrian red line, the significance of that can't be understated. It sends a message to our enemies and our allies, external and internal, that when Trump says something, he means it, and he has the political will and the courage to stick to it.
I think it began, Jonah, with the Tomahawk missiles into Syria. I mean, I think that was the starting point when we saw this administration really, after coming into office, getting settled in, taking serious action on previous presidents' red line, who took no action when the people were being slaughtered, who was not willing to take on the Assad regime or the Russians who were working with the Assad regime. But our president came in, saw what the regime working with Russians did to those children, and said, you know, I don't care what everybody's saying about Russia, everybody's saying about this, we're not going to let this regime target women and children. You know, this is not a battle between actual civil forces. These are targeting kids and targeting women using chemical weapons, which pose a threat to us as well. So we have our battleships, of course, right there. You have 65 Tomahawk missiles now, destroyed your entire Air Force. Do you hear any more about chemical weapons attacks in Syria since that move? Because the military was decimated. Yeah. There are no airplanes flying right now. And I think there, so he's following up on a red line set by a previous president to, I think, it restarted America as the leader of the world, no more leading from behind. And it's a big strategy change. Wes?
Yeah, it's a huge change. It really is. The president is willing to use diplomacy. He's illustrated that. He's willing to talk to anyone. Last week, he offered to talk to the president of Iran, who flatly turned him down. And so when talk does not work and the strategic interests of the United States are at stake, the president is willing to take decisive action, and that's what we're witnessing.
Harry, when you talk about the currency of the country falling like it has, some 80% since January, what does that translate to the people of Iran?
Well, it translates into inflation. And so it's very, very important to note that the Iranian people can no longer afford, in many cases, to eat. They are without jobs. This is fueling protest on Iranian streets. In recent days, we have seen the biggest wave of protests since January of this year. The protesters are calling for financial help and regime change as they focus on the high prices and lack of jobs. Rather than shouting death to the United States, they are basically shouting death to inflation, death to high prices.
All right, we've got in our FOIA report that we issued, you remember if you're watching us on TV right now, you'll see this, in our quarterly FOIA report, on page 47, we have a whole discussion about our demands of access regarding the State Department and the Iranian nuclear deal. One thing we know, the Obama administration was saying that they began negotiations when a more moderate regime was put in place. What we find out through our litigation against the State Department, no. They were doing this with Ahmadinejad in power, who was calling for death of Israel and called the Holocaust a hoax. We're going to take your calls and comments. We come back from the break at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Don't forget the ACLJ's matching challenge. Back for more, including your calls, in just a moment.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist to fill the seat created by the retirement of Justice Kennedy. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. He has extensive experience and a commitment to adhere to the rule of law and uphold the Constitution. Yet the radical left is pulling out all the stops to derail this nomination. That's why it's so critical to support this nominee. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Stand with us on this critical fight. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, aclj.org.
policy is based on a clear-eyed assessment of the Iranian dictatorship, its sponsorship of terrorism, and its continuing aggression in the Middle East and around the world. So says the President of the United States, reimposing tough sanctions effective tonight, 12:01 a.m. We are taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-681-3110. 800-684-3110. Let's go ahead and take a call.
Yeah, Michael's calling from Florida on line 3. Michael, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Michael. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Thank you, Jay. Just wanted to say, you know, I love what you're doing. I listen every day. The fact that, you know, we're the only one in NATO and with our allies that have pulled out of the Iranian deal with the nuclear deal, and that most of our allies have not backed us.
Well, it's an interesting dynamic, Harry, because the way they may not win, they're not wanting to, quote, back us. The fact is they much rather do business with the United States than Iran.
Absolutely. So the European community has about $700 billion in trade, I think, with the United States, and about $20 billion in trade with Iran. So the question becomes, which country will the Europeans actually continue to trade with? So the Europeans, in my judgment, are not stupid. In addition to which, the United States government holds licensing requirements with respect to, for instance, the European Airbus. And the United States has pulled those requirements. So the Europeans cannot deal with the Iranians with respect to selling additional Airbuses to the Iranians. So the Europeans are in a tough spot if they continue to deal with Iran. And so I think at the end of the day, they will cave because they are rational.
Let me tell you what's going on in the streets of Tehran. This is not just Tehran. This is all over Iran. This is very significant. And I want you to hear it. You'll hear the question. It's coming from Al Jazeera. You'll hear the translation of it. Instead of the death to America, death to Israel, burning presidents in effigy, this is what you're hearing instead.
This unidentified woman removed her headscarf, an increasingly common way for Iranian women to protest, and began addressing others.
Let's build our country with our own hands. People, do not be afraid. If we stand together and united, neither internal or external powers can confront us. We are Iranians. It is not our business what is happening in Palestine, Syria, Iraq, or Lebanon. Why should all our resources go to them?
And this is the point. You don't get involved in military campaigns, even in your region, if your people can't eat. You know, that you can fake being a superpower only for so long, or even a regional power. And I think to call them that, they got to that level. But we saw what it took now. We've seen that they took the sanction relief to become this regional player. And they did. They became a regional player for about, what is it, a couple years?
Yeah.
And now that the sanctions are back, the people say, you know, what do I really care about Assad? What connection do I have here? Why are we fighting it out in Iraq again after a decimating war 30 years ago? What are we doing sending missiles into Riyadh? Yeah. I mean, like, who are we trying to pick on here? Because basically, you're sending missiles into Riyadh, you're also picking on the United States of America. I mean, why are we picking these actual battles? Not diplomatic, not sanctions, but physical death, you know, people dying, war. Yep. What are we doing this for when we can't even feed our kids, or the power's not operating and the water's not clean?
The interesting thing about these sanctions is that the United States is not trying to hurt the Iranian people. And interestingly enough, they know that.
Right.
What we are trying to do is to protect vital U.S. strategic interest. And then more importantly, we're trying to curb the nuclear ambitions and the terrorist activities of a regime that is oppressing its own people. And that message and that reality is not lost on the people in the streets in Iran today.
So, Harry, when you look at the economic impact of this, and we're taking your calls, by the way, 800-684-3110. When you look at the economic impact, the Iranian people, I think Wes made a really important point. The people, these are intelligent people. These are smart people. These are industrious people. They know that this is aimed at the regime, not at them. But
absolutely,
the economic consequences of the Iranian regime's actions, you're telling me, are consequences. They're devastating for them as a country.
Absolutely. So it's important to note that Iran's leaders, including the central bankers, they like to blame the recent economic woes in Iran on a conspiracy by Iran's enemies or foreign agitators. Iran's troubles, economic troubles, are largely self-inflicted. Since Iran signed the Iran nuclear deal, it has engaged in an expensive war in Syria, proxy war in Yemen. It has sent arms and funds to Hezbollah and the Lebanese Shia militant group, as well as Hamas. It is estimated that Iran has spent tens of billions of dollars on these efforts, and that has led to anti-government protests. The Iranians are saying, not Gaza, not Lebanon, but my life in Iran. So as Iranian economic mismanagement continues with widespread corruption, it strikes me, Jay, that the protests are beginning to suggest that an enormous number of Iranian chickens are coming home to roost.
Wow, there you go. All right, taking one. Let's take a call before the break here.
Yeah, David in Massachusetts, online too. David, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, David.
Jay, thank you so much. You guys do an absolute amazing job supporting Trump. The Trump presidency has been absolutely phenomenal. Everything you do is excellent, especially with exposing Iran for what they really are. And obviously tonight at 12:01, Trump's going to impose the sanctions, and we're going to cut the head off the snake. Just a quick question. What are your thoughts or the thoughts on moving towards a naval blockade of Iran as a next step to completely shut them down?
Wes, is our military. David, thanks for the call. I'm going to let our Colonel Wes Smith handle that one. Colonel Smith.
Yeah, that we don't need to do that. That is an extreme action. However, what is going on in Iran today? There's the potential for a military flashpoint. Last month, President Rouhani suggested that they might close down the shipping lanes in the Straits of Hormuz and in the Persian Gulf. It has been the longstanding policy of the United States since the Carter administration that we are willing to use military force if necessary to keep the shipping lanes open in the Persian Gulf and the Straits of Hormuz.
That's their big threat.
It is. Always. That is their big threat. So there is the potential for military confrontation. However, Iran's navy is not robust. They don't have destroyers. They don't have aircraft carriers. They do have submarines. They have a lot of patrol boats. What I think might happen is that Iran, if they lash out in any way militarily, they will start harassing our ships in the Persian Gulf, the Straits of Hormuz. But there is a new guy in the White House. The last time they did this, we didn't return fire. This time, don't look for that to happen.
Same place. I don't know how anybody watched that video of our U.S. troops. I don't know how President Obama sat there and didn't pull the trigger. I mean, it's very hard, difficult for me at that point. You don't see that kind of imagery. I mean, going back to
American naval assault laws.
And that many, because they weren't even allowed to try to fight back. And of course, so you've set them up for this. And then, so I don't think they're not in that position now, our military. I think that, you know, all that's been changed. We know that. The policies have been changed and are being changed at the Department of Defense. But if any kind of, I mean, how many times does this president have to tell the world, not just tell the world, show the world with actions, military, economic, isolating, diplomatic, all together, when I say I'm going to do it, if you don't do A or B or C or A, B, and C, he will do it if you don't do A, B, and C.
Iran did do military exercises in the Gulf last week. There you go. All right. We're here for another hour. If you don't get the full hour of the broadcast, just go over to ACLJ.org. You get it there, streaming or audio, your choice, both the TV version as well as the radio version. Also, Facebook and Periscope. That's another way to get it. A lot of stations not carrying the full hour of the broadcast. Don't forget our matching challenge campaign at ACLJ.org. If you got a call or comment, phone lines are open for you. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Back with more in a moment.
This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, ACLJ.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Protesters in Iran have been chanting against the religious and political elite. But for these men and women, what they say is the government's mishandling of the economy is their main grievance.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Not death to America, not death to Israel, death to the regime. Why? Because of economic, crippling economic impact that is taking place in Iran. We start with the fact that the president has now announced that effective 12:01 a.m., that's Tuesday morning, tonight, President Donald Trump is going to reimpose sanctions lifted under the horrible Iran deal. Our policy is based on clear-eyed assessment of the Iranian dictatorship, is what the president says, its sponsorship of terror, and its continuing aggression in the Middle East and all around the world. That's what the president said. Harry Hutchinson, our director of policy, let's talk about those sanctions. People are taking the streets. By the way, we're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. Give me your assessment of what these sanctions mean to the people of Iran, and to the Iranian government.
Well, the Iranian economy is already under pressure. It's facing high inflation, lack of jobs. The rial has fallen by more than 50%, and on the black market, probably by more than 80%. So the Iranian people are hurting. On the other hand, the United States has sent a clear message. We have sent a message to the Iranian mullahs. We've sent a message to our enemies throughout the world, but we've also sent a message to the Iranian people that we will support them. And I think this is bringing additional pressure on the Iranian regime.
So the protest movement from 2009 during the Green Movement and all that was taking place, how do you view that when you've studied that pretty extensively compared to what's taking place now? Not the numbers on the street, that's for sure yet.
No, not the numbers on the street. Most of those leaders have been executed by now, so this would be a new generation of protest leaders. There's things here differently as well, more on a human rights angle to this, the women taking off their burqas who are leaders. So there's provocation here to the world as well. And so I think that it will ultimately come down to where the U.S. comes down. You know, it's not North Korea. This is a place where there is protest happening and against the government. There's steps we can take. I think the sanctions are one of them. The others are, if those protests grow, more covert. I mean, let's be honest. It's more covert with the people. We're not there yet with those protests. We were there in 2009. I think that regime could have been toppled in minutes with covert U.S. action. The Obama administration wasn't willing to take that. I think this administration is still very serious. It's a very serious decision to make to engage because of the power that they have become regionally. But if you can weaken them, first weaken them to the point where they can't even pay their bills to their military, and their Iranian Revolutionary Guard leaders don't have the $300 million in some account somewhere they can't access, and then I think you look at the other options.
All right, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. We're going to try to keep lines open for you. Again, if you want to talk to us, 800-684-3110. Let's try to take a call, Jordan.
Yeah, back to the phones we go. Tom in Kansas on line 5. Tom, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, Tom.
Yes, hello. Isn't it quite a contrast to look at how the world has changed with a new president, a new administration, and not that I think that we're all the way there, but I guess the question I have is, how much closer are we moving to seeing the people of Iran released from the tyranny of and the fear and the loss of life and the loss?
Well, look, this is one generation ago they understood more of they were pro-Western just a generation ago, and they understood more about freedom and liberty. Not that the Shah was perfect by any stretch of any imagination, but that was the reality. They've tasted freedom in their past. The question now is, what brings that back? And the fact is, Iran is the largest state sponsor of terror. So what do you do to the largest state sponsor of terror? In my view, and the position of the American Center for Law and Justice, is you do whatever is necessary within the realm of legality, within the realms of engagement. And that includes, by the way, in this particular case, this is diplomatic engagement. It was Disraeli who said that diplomacy is war without violence. That's what this is. Will it have an effect? My friends, it's already having an effect. All right, we come back from the break. We're going to take your calls. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Your reaction to the president's moves on Iran.
This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist to fill the seat created by the retirement of Justice Kennedy. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. He has extensive experience and a commitment to adhere to the rule of law and uphold the Constitution. Yet the radical left is pulling out all the stops to derail this nomination. That's why it's so critical to support this nominee. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Stand with us on this critical fight. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Hey everybody, we're back. We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We're going to go ahead and take a phone call. Then we've got a statement that the president just issued. We want to know if you're supporting the president's moves on Iran or your questions and comments you have on it. Again, 1-800-684-3110. Let's take a call.
Heather's called in from Minnesota on line one. Heather, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. Hi. Thank you, guys. I'm just wondering, they had put some sanctions on two specific ministers in Turkey that it had to do with Andrew Brunson's condemnation. I don't know why they can't do that with some of these high-level Iranian officials. Personally, I think they should take out their nuclear reactors.
Well, here's what they said. The administration will also relist hundreds of individuals. This is from the White House release. Entities, vessels, and aircraft that were previously included on the sanctions list. They didn't give a specific timeline for those relisting, but that's in the process. Also, the president has just released, just moments ago, this statement. Today, the United States is taking action to reimpose nuclear-related sanctions with respect to Iran that were lifted in connection with the JCPOA. These actions include reimposing sanctions on Iran's automotive sector, on its trade in gold and precious metal, as well as sanctions related to the Iran rial, which is their currency. These measures take effect on August 7, 2018. All remaining United States nuclear-related sanctions will also resume effective November 5, 2018. These include sanctions targeting Iran's energy sector, including petroleum-related transactions, as well as transactions by foreign financial institutions with the Central Bank of Iran. Let's focus on that one for a moment. This is the November 5th sanctions. Let me say it again. We'll include sanctioning Iran's energy sector, including petroleum-related transactions, that's oil, as well as transactions by foreign financial institutions, that is banking, with the central bank. How significant is that, Harry?
Tremendously significant. So it's important to note that the first tranche of sanctions goes into effect at midnight tonight, and the Iranian economy is already facing headwinds. But on November the 5th, 2018, the Iranian economy is headed for a potential free fall implosion, in part because we are targeting their petroleum industry and we are targeting transactions with foreign financial institutions. So it will be virtually impossible for Iran to engage in international trade, notwithstanding the fact that some European countries want to continue to trade with Iran. In addition to which, it's important to note that the economy, in terms of jobs, in terms of inflation, that is continuing to go in a downward direction. And that is going to place pressure on the mullahs who have been spending billions of dollars that they have received from the Iran nuclear deal on their belligerent ambitions in the Middle East, in Syria, in Yemen, and in elsewhere.
Interesting comment from Zarif, the foreign ministry, says, we have past experience with illegal and tyrannical American sanctions against Iran. We were able to pass that time with our heads held high until six great powers of the world had no option but gathering around the negotiating table to deal with the Iranians, with Iran. So they used that as a bolstering point. Bennett, I could see on a monitor here, shaking your head. Go ahead.
There's like a perverted truth to what he just said, Jay. I mean, these are the exact set of sanctions that brought Iran to the negotiating table the first time around. I would say brought them to the brink. The pressure had built up to the point where they had to do something. But the problem is, Jay, the JCPOA lifted all of that pressure. We actually sent them the tens of billions of dollars they needed to get out of that jam. Of course, the people didn't see the benefit, and they now realize the truth. But, Jay, you can't get that cash back. The only thing you can do is start rebuilding that pressure back up using the same exact regime of sanctions that was used to get them to the table in the first place. That was an opportunity lost. You can't fully get it back, but over time, and with a consistent approach, as we've seen from this president, you can build that pressure back up.
Yeah, I think that's right. What do you think, Jordan?
I think that ultimately here, Iran and these leaders and the foreign minister who tries to, he's a phony diplomat who represents a repressive regime, is no better than the Ayatollah and should have the same fate, and his family too. And that, you know, that's what they're on the edge of, these guys. They're on the edge of a Gaddafi situation. And when the U.S. plays up and down with you like one administration, you got to deal with democracy where we get to decide our leaders. And you know what that means? The decision of the most powerful country in the world, the President of the United States, the Commander-in-Chief, isn't the same person for 30 years. So when they're not the same person, policies change. So don't rely on one. And you saw what already happened. You knew what was coming. You tried to play this threat that you couldn't make good on. You have a military that's not quite capable of actually inflicting the harm, not quite capable of actually scaring a country like the United States or a small, tiny country like Israel. I thank Iran in some sense. They've unified the entire region against themselves. So we used to have a lot of trouble with these countries, Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, women
are driving in Saudi Arabia right now, and in Tehran, they're taking off their burqas.
Right.
All right, so something has changed significantly, and that is Donald Trump.
And look at Israel's partners in the region, including Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Jordan, the Gulf states. This is a whole new world in one sense, Wes. Yeah, I mean, it really is.
It truly is. The dynamics have completely been upended. And I think it's very telling. You mentioned their foreign minister, Zarif. Today, he launched criticism against President Trump, Benjamin Netanyahu, and Prince Bin Salman of Saudi Arabia.
There you go.
A few years ago, who would have thought that Israel, Saudi Arabia, and the United States would be lumped together as enemies of Iran?
What do you think, Harry, is the we'll take your calls at 800-684-3110. We won't forget those. We'll take your calls 1-800-684-3110. But Harry, there's a lot of material we're trying to cover here. What is your sense? There's a lot. When I read it, for instance, the president says the JCPOA, a horrible one-sided deal, failed to achieve the fundamental objective of blocking all paths to an Iranian nuclear bomb, and it threw a lifeline of cash to a murderous dictatorship that has continued to spread bloodshed, violence, and chaos.
Well, first, it's important to realize that the Iranian leaders promised more than they could deliver. Why? Because they diverted huge amounts of cash to military intervention in the region. I think the Iranian people have reached a point of no return. They are starving. They are without jobs. They have nothing left to lose. And this means it's a dangerous moment for the mullahs. People that have nothing left to lose, they are willing to engage in all sorts of activity which will ultimately destabilize the regime. And I think in the long run, that's a good thing.
Let me play this. This is from Mike Pompeo. It talks about the economic impact. This is number 20.
To our Iranian-American friends, tonight I want to tell you that the Trump administration dreams the same dreams for the people of Iran as you do. And through our labors and God's providence, that day will come true.
All right, so there you have it. I mean, very strong words from Mike Pompeo, our Secretary of State. What are you hearing, Fan, is kind of the latest in Washington reaction? I know there are a lot of recesses right now, so a lot of people are gone. Are you hearing anything from the staffs?
Yeah, the staff, there a lot of them are out of town, Jay. But look, here on the first wave of it, Congress doesn't have to do anything. This is statutory authority that the president has. I think the sound that you just played from Secretary Pompeo actually is going to be very important for gathering support on the Hill, because Jordan alluded to this earlier, but the previous administration, Jay, it was almost like they forgot about the people that were recognizing the truth and protesting in the street. That sound you just played was the Secretary of State speaking directly to the Iranian people. So look, at this point, the president does not need additional statutory authority to issue these sanctions. He's had it since 1996. But if he does need it, I suspect there will be a bipartisan majority in both chambers that would be willing to grant it to him.
All right. We're going to take your calls and comments at 1-800-684-3110. We're coming into the last segment of the broadcast, which means we take comments on a variety of issues. So you can call us with questions you might have on other topics. 1-800-684-3110. Jordan, as you look at this from a what happens on the street perspective, because that does show you where this goes, what is your kind of assessment right now?
Anytime people will take to the streets there, risk their lives, that means you kind of, life is not good. So you're not, even in repressive regimes, if you're eating, China's a pretty good example of this, I think. So a repressive regime, limited human rights, but you can still go buy your Starbucks. And then in the more regional areas, the farmers have their farms. They kind of have these lives that if you let them live to an extent and the economy's doing okay, well, we don't necessarily run opposed to the regime. That is not Iran. And so in Iran, if you're not eating and you can't get access to food, you are not so loyal or as brainwashed, I think, as the North Korean regime. You're not that isolated. You're able to travel to some countries in the world. You can see what's going on. When you can't eat, the power doesn't work. I think you get much closer to a Venezuela situation. Difference being, Venezuela, not nearly as much of this military threat to the world.
Right.
And so you're not getting the same kind of – you're getting a whole level of different attention when you are Iran. And you tie – everyone gets extremely concerned when you tie radical religion with nuclear weapons.
Yep.
So in times, religion and nuclear weapon theology – I mean, that gets very dangerous very quick.
Yeah, it does. You know, you have the Twelvers, as you're called, in Iran, people who believe – that you have to have a military apocalypse in order for the final imam to appear. Mm. And the previous president of Iran actually believed that. There are people in that country that do believe it. And Jordan's right. It's a volatile combination of military power and religious misplaced fervor.
All right, we're going to take your calls. The last segment of the broadcast coming up on any topic, 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. And don't forget ACLJ.org. for our August matching challenge campaign, ACLJ.org.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist to fill the seat created by the retirement of Justice Kennedy. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. He has extensive experience and a commitment to adhere to the rule of law and uphold the Constitution. Yet the radical left is pulling out all the stops to derail this nomination. That's why it's so critical to support this nominee. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Stand with us on this critical fight. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, aclj.org.
says, I'm pleased that many international firms have already announced their intent to leave the Iranian market, and several countries have indicated that they will reduce or end imports of Iranian crude oil. We urge all nations to take such steps to make clear that the Iranian regime faces a choice. Either change its threatening, destabilizing behavior and reintegrate with the global community, I mean, the global economy, or continue down a path of economic isolation. Where are they headed right now, Harry?
Well, they are headed toward economic isolation. It's important to note that the Iranian people were chanting the following. The nation is begging while the master lives like God in the largest demonstrations since January 2018. Soccer fans were quoted recently chanting death to the dictator in a move that rejects Iran's supreme leader. This took place, Jay, before the reimposition of sanctions.
Yep.
And sanctions will accelerate the downward trend in the Iranian economy.
Does the protest movement that's now operating on the streets reach a critical mass here, Jordan? That's always the question.
Depends on how repressive the regime is, how strong the military is, how deep economically they're able to. If they can, you know, if they're able to prop up their basically the Iranian Revolutionary Guard, they can keep power. But it's when that is no longer of an economic interest to be associated with. So when it's no longer, I mean, I believe some of those people are hardliners that actually believe this, but there's a lot who like their very expensive lifestyles and their huge bank accounts all over the world. If those bank accounts don't exist, it tests, are they really 12er Shia Muslims who believe in this end-time radicalism, or are they billionaires who can't access their money anymore and start running off like Nazis?
Mm. So let me ask you this from a military standpoint. The Revolutionary Guard, Jordan just mentioned this, Colonel Smith. The Revolutionary Guard's kind of their elite military.
It is.
But they are their financial controls on that. These sanctions can impact the Iranian Revolutionary Guard.
Oh, absolutely.
They will impact the Iranian Revolutionary Guard.
Yes, they answer directly to the supreme leader, the Ayatollah. The Revolutionary Guard Corps are not only the elite supposedly militarily, although I have some questions about that, but they are also considered the first-class military. The regular Iranian army, they're sort of the stepchildren in Iran's military, and there's a lot of resentment between the regular Iranian army and, yep, and the Revolutionary Guard Corps. But I think this regime, we need to stay the course on this, because this regime will not go quietly into the night. They're going to fight. I look for them to start lashing out violently at the demonstrators in the next few days.
Yep.
I look for them to lash out in other ways, perhaps to try and harass the U.S. Navy in the waters around their country. This has the potential to be a real turning point and real freedom for the Iranian people. But between now and that ultimate tipping point, this regime is brutal, and we can expect more brutal actions and more disruptive behavior in the region and in the world, because that's what they do.
So, Than, let me ask you this. What is the assessment of support? Is this going to be, is this a partisan issue now? I mean, do the Democrats really think, oh, let's not give sanctions to Iran and see what happens?
I think the Iran deal, the JCPOA, is a partisan issue, but the reimposition of sanctions is not. And I know that sounds strange, Jay, but I think people will try to twist themselves into pretzels on the left to stay aligned with President Obama while recognizing how dire the situation is. Look, in line with the conversation you just had with Jordan and West, here's what the Iranian regime is going to do. They're going to immediately try to blame the United States for the economic conditions. Jay, that's going to be a very difficult sale on behalf of the regime when they just got billions upon billions of dollars from the United States, and the fate of the Iranian people did not improve. So good luck with that propaganda effort. But here in Washington, Jay, I want people to hear this again. The Congress was complicit in this. This was President Obama's legacy. He drove the train, but they had an opportunity to stop it, and they declined to do it. So the president is right moving ahead with the sanction authority that he has. I do think that he will have the votes in the Congress should he need additional sanction authority. But look, he had to lead on this because Congress has already showed their cards. They were not able to lead when they had the opportunity.
Since the deal was reached, President Trump said, Iran's aggression has only increased. The regime has used the windfall of newly accessible funds it received under the JCPOA to build nuclear-capable missiles, fund terrorism, and fuel conflict across the Middle East and beyond. To this day, Iran threatens the United States and our allies undermines the international financial system, and supports terrorism and militant proxies around the world. By exiting the JCPOA, the United States is able to protect its national security by applying maximum economic pressure on the Iranian regime. Harry, our director of policy, law and economics professor, is this an application of maximum economic pressure on the Iranians based on what the president has outlined?
Absolutely. So it's important to realize Iran does not have unlimited funds. It does not have unlimited resources. So there is a limit on Iran's capacity to wage mayhem, if you will, in the Middle East. It has already squandered billions, tens of billions of dollars in the Middle East. The Iranian people are fed up. And it's important to realize that the first set of sanctions go into effect tonight, but in 90 days, another set of sanctions will be imposed on the Iranian oil industry, and those sanctions will have a tremendous bite.
The last statement the president issued, Jordan, is the United States continues to stand with the long-suffering Iranian people, who are the rightful heirs to Iran's rich heritage and the real victims of the regime's policies.
Yep.
We look forward to the day when the people of Iran and all people across the region can prosper together in safety and peace. This goes to the heart of the protest movement here.
I think that Iran could be, it's hard to remember, and we don't want to recreate where it was. There was kind of a one-party, one-man ruler, so I don't think that's where you want to go. And
you're talking about under the Shah.
Yeah, but it could be the counter to a strong man in Turkey for the United States. I mean, long-term, this is talking about. Long-term, this could be a stronger ally in the region than where some others have gone. It could be stronger than Saudi Arabia. It was stronger than Saudi Arabia. And so I don't think it would take that long to get to that point again once this regime falls. I think the people are there. There's always going to be the dissenters. It would take time. But ultimately, could you imagine that? And then see if Turkey would be trying to flex any of its muscles ever again.
This is interesting. Rick on Periscope asked this. Who would have ever thought that President Obama's billion-dollar gift to Iran would backfire? Harry?
Absolutely. So in some respects, the deal, the Iran nuclear deal, has already backfired because the Iranians believe that they would have continued access to the West in terms of trade, in terms of the sales of oil and automobiles. Now they may indeed be stuck economically, yep, and this will lead to adverse consequences for the regime.
I want to talk as the closing moments of the broadcast here. Militarily, so what is this? With our military in the region, mm-hmm, what kind of alert level are they on?
I think they would be on high alert simply because of the verbal threats made by President Rouhani. Iran is not a huge military. It's the 13th largest military in the world. Their navy is mainly limited to patrol boats, but they do have 33 submarines, which can sink American ships. I think that would be a huge miscalculation on the part of Iran. So, but the alert level is up, I'm sure.
A confrontation to our navy under this president would be a mistake for the Iranians.
I think that, you know, lessons should be learned from how he has acted already against those were indirect, yep, confrontations, but posing a threat because of the use of chemical weapons, which were not targeted at the United States, but still violated so many international laws.
Capture our Navy sailors.
I don't think Tehran would be in a very good state a few hours later.
All right. That's going to do it for the broadcast today. We gave you an analysis today that you're not going to get any
place else. I
think those
soldiers will be captured by the way under the current rules of engagement.
I think you're right about that, too. All right, we're taking calls tomorrow, not today. But we will keep you updated on this. Obviously, some big developments today, so we'll keep you posted on that. Don't forget our matching challenge campaign at ACLJ.org.
This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, ACLJ.org.